can go again.
Speedy.
Rolling.
Scene 4.1, good, take 3.
Camera set.
And action.
I wonder how much of that very busy mind of yours is merely a way of running away from yourself. And you just can't get away from her. So, what if you put your stake in the ground?
Cut. Whoa. Sorry, we gotta hold this down.
Romano.
And I am Benjamin Shaw.
And this is The Break Breakdown.
Welcome to episode 9, everyone. This is actually the last episode of the season, which, as you all know, we've been focusing on process, specifically the process of making Kinsley Verses. In this final episode, we sort of get really macro and talk about subject matter that did not receive its own designated episode, but is interesting and I think important regardless.
I didn't realize that I had some of these moments recorded on my phone from back to 2018. When I listened back to everything that was on my phone, I was reminded that, you know, when you are making something, it is an ongoing beast. There's no definitive beginning, which we talked about in episode 1. There's no definitive end, which I imagine will kind of reveal itself in this episode. And so while Kinsley Verses is streaming right now on YouTube and it's going to be there, we're going to talk about it for a long time, this process kind of continues to be ongoing. And listening to those recordings reminded me of that.
While it's ongoing, and while we're talking about Kinsley for a while, this is also the conclusion, because it's important to find milestones in your process. And this is one for us. So I don't think we need to say much more than that, other than what you're going to hear are some sort of snapshots or audio shots, various moments of the past several years. Why don't you set up the first one we're going to play, Court?
Okay, so this is really a quick little one, but in 2018, I had the very first script reading of Kinsley Verses. This is way before the reading that we did in 2021 where the producers coalesced around it. This is before most of the characters had names. This is a moment when Thomas and Kinsley somehow fall in love. I made lots of changes after this round of feedback and this table read, and the first clip that we're going to hear is just a little bit of the sound of that table read. So here we go.
I really want to see it feels a little bit like there's this like really strong relationship between Edie,
yes,
and Kinsley.
It's like an interesting space we're in that last scene.
Yes.
And I feel like I'd be interested as an exercise if you dialed it up to 10 and then,
yes,
dialed it back to 0.
So as Courtney said a moment ago, that was from the early table read, 2018 table read of the script. I think the thing that I'm struck with listening to that brief feedback is inside creating, whether, yeah, a script or directing, we start off making like tentative choices because we don't know what we're making or what it is yet. And I think the best feedback is often feedback that those speakers gave just now, which is like, go further, make it bigger, be bolder with your choice. And how that, like, even that is a process in and of itself, arriving at the bold, definitive, decisive version.
Edie and Kinsley are talking, they're talking about Cameron, and Kinsley says, she's nice. And Edie says, she uses exclamation points. And Kinsley says, right, she's been nice, or whatever. And then Edie goes, she's not nice, she's desperate. Desperate people use exclamation points. And desperate people are not nice.
It just
happens to be nice. There is nothing wrong with nice.
He texts with exclamation points.
Because he's nice.
Exclamation points are desperate, and desperate people are not nice.
Many, many, many voice notes that I sent to our lead actor, Lauren Kerriman, who played Kinsley. We got into this rhythm, Lauren and I, before filming, where we did meet up a couple of times and kind of went through the script question by question, moment by moment together. But then as we were thinking about that on our own, we would leave each other voice memos. I would often have this like almost like a download of thoughts that I had about something that I needed to capture right away. Sometimes I was parenting my child, which you'll hear. And so to capture that, I put it on a voice memo and texted it to Lauren. And then she would send me them back. And we would kind of talk about the character in the broader sense there. And what we were really doing was building the world. What world does this woman live in? So that Lauren, as the actor, could decide, and we could decide together, what are the active actions that she takes within this world?
Permit me one comment / question, Court. So live performance is dance, theater, etc., gets tons and tons of rehearsal to arrive at the exact thing is. Whereas film, well, obviously there's many takes, right? So you can't do that live. Live is once. Whereas film, you get sometimes as many takes as you need until you capture the right thing. And for you, like there's a lot of work that actors do prior to arriving on set. It's not necessarily work that happens in a group setting.
So we did actually get to do a table read with the entire cast before our first shoot day. And that was a great way to just kind of get everyone together on the same page, to hear the whole thing out loud, to know where their place was in it. But that wasn't even what I would categorize as rehearsal, more like a meet and greet. The way that it works on set usually is unless you've got a huge budget, and even if you do have a huge budget, usually it's not going to rehearsal. So for me, coming from the theater background, I kind of feel like rehearsal is the product, is the thing. It's where we get to make decisions together. It's where we get to decide what story we're telling together. So for me, I definitely wanted a lot of time with Lauren, and we did what we could ahead of time, so that when we get to take one, take two, take three, it's not a question of like, oh, that wasn't at all what I wanted. Can you now try it this way? It was, here's the palette that we can work with. Let's try our first color now, our second color next, our third color last. And we tried to keep it to three takes because it gets exhausting, first of all, and there's a time limit. And, you know, the thing about film is you can see when that magic kind of leaves everybody's eyes. And that magic kind of spark thing, I feel like lasts around three takes. Sometimes we're lucky and we get more. But part of that is just, you know, being able to be prepared, being present, and then moving on to the next thing.
Is that why, like, in this clip, you're speaking generally about the character rather than a specific instance of, like, how the moment is played? It's like, let's learn who this character is.
Yes.
So that you bring a full person with you, and then we will shape the story. Yeah.
That's what I mean by world building. We created it together. We kind of defined her together. I personally don't really feel like backstory is super necessary unless it's necessary for the actor. If it benefits the actor, go for it. But if it's not on the page, then the audience never knows it. What the audience needs to know is what is this woman doing? And why is she doing it? What does she want? And one way to get that answer uncovered with an actor, depending on who the actor is to do this like kind of give and take world building back and forth, so that when we're on set and I yell action, Lauren is going after what Kinsley wants.
Okay, so the other side of that in episode 3, Spiral, I'm talking to Lauren, is that I think when she... we're just leaving a note, sweetie. So she will, when she hears this, I bet she'll say, hi, Elle. I'm sure she will. So when we start episode 3, Spiral, you are drunk and you have gotten the power back. She said, have a good day. You have gotten up on the control. Like, you have control over everyone, right? But I think there's a flavor and a quality to you that you don't really trust yourself, right? Because you kind of got control in episode two by shutting everyone out. But in episode three, you're coming in, you're drunk, you've made this connection with Thomas, but I don't think you really trust it completely. So, you know, what is that? How is that expressed when you are in the beginning of episode three? How does that lead to a point of sadness and kind of grief and kind of like, wait, I really am not where I said I was? And then the spiral. So it's kind of like you're tracking it in three sections.
We wrapped production for the second round of shooting in January 2022. And then between January 22 and the fall, or really the summer, the series was in post, went through all of that process, and it became a very sort of much smaller process. It was very, very intricate and detailed, but it was only involving certain people. And it was really Courtney and an editor, Courtney and the colorist, Courtney and the audio mixer, etc. Every so often, I think I weighed in when I saw something. I watched every episode, I think, twice or three times and gave you a couple of notes. But we're now going to jump ahead to December 2022. So almost a year after we finished filming, to a producer's meeting. So we're getting ready to drop the series on YouTube. We're going to have a premiere party. And we need to come together again as a foursome. And you might ask, why weren't Allie and Sarah involved earlier during post? Well, they were, but also because we each played a role in the process. Definitively, Sarah was an actor, Allie was costume designer. I was producing the entire time. It was an opportunity for me to step up and do a little bit more. But we come back together as a foursome, and it's interesting because I think we're both very familiar with each other as a group, and also we're still figuring each other out. And the topic at hand is a little bit about distribution, the strategy around how we release the series. And maybe we touch a little bit on some finances stuff.
So I want to say one thing right before we play this, which is we started this process in a nebulous way, which we outlined in episode one of this podcast season. And as the thing became firmer and more tangible, we realized we needed to do more logistical, worky things, so to speak. And so this producer's meeting was really like the culmination of all this work that we had all four put in, and then trying to make that tangible in some way, not only for what we were going to do for the premiere and the premiere party, but what if, you know, XYZ happens in the future? What is our response? What do we do then? So this is us basically just ideating on, you know, theoreticals and also tangible choices we needed to make to roll out the series.
If we want to put down in whatever agreement we're making, like each party is putting in an additional $250 for this purpose of like this premiere party with the intention of being reimbursed should we receive $1,000 back in funds. I think that I think things like that should be explicitly stated within like some in writing.
I think one thing that I definitely learned in this process was that it's important to get on the same page with money all right away. And I felt that we did do that, and also acknowledge that as a process shifts and we shift, our relationship to the budget will shift, our relationship to like what we put in, what we get out will shift. And just, it's really important, I think, to like keep having these check-ins. And as independent artists, not be afraid of money, like not be afraid of talking about money, not be afraid of expressing what you need out of it, what you can and cannot put in, what you do and do not need back. And all of these questions might change from project to project, from person to person. And all of that is okay. There is not one way to do it. The best thing to do is just to communicate.
I think it would be cool to release, you know, 3, 4, even 5 episodes on the 23rd, and head with a huge cliffhanger, and then go one by one for the remainder. I don't know if that's messy and or unorganized, but I could just, I think you're like, oh, 45, 50 minutes of content. Part of me is like, well, that's a long time.
Sarah, I'm interested to hear what you think, because I feel like, I don't know, when you screened it, when we did the private screening, did you have any sense from that of like, oh, I really enjoyed seeing it back to back to back, or that was a different experience because it was in a movie theater and not online? Like, do you, I'm just curious what your thought is on that.
I think it's so different because I was there to watch the whole thing. I was like forced to do it. I mean, not forced, but I mean, like, I was there and like we were screening them all. It's so different when like you're at home and whatever. That being said, we know like the people that are invested in this, like whether they donated like $10 or like $500, they're going to watch the whole thing, like regardless. Like they'll most likely sit down and watch all 50 minutes, in my opinion. Now, like someone who stumbles across it, I do think it's better to have it all there and available. They can watch it on their own time. They want to watch episode 1 and 2 and come back later and watch 3 and 4. Who cares? Like they may choose to watch it that way, like in shorter spans. But I think like to have just like 1 or 2 available and like a random person stumbles upon it, I think it might be like a hard ask to get them to come back, even though the content is good, because there's just so much content. I mean, there's just too much. So like, I think like, if they could just go 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, keep watching, that might be to our advantage.
For so many reasons, which mostly I can't remember anymore, we decided we were going to release all in one day, and that's what we did. So I want to take this moment to say, go to our YouTube page, watch Kinsley Versus, all 7 episodes. It's less than an hour. If you really like it, watch it a second time. If you know somebody else who you think might like it, we would appreciate it if you'd forward it to them. We appreciate your support.
They say that, you know, indie film is a lot like birthing a baby. And I've had one, and I'm about to have another. Yeah. And I can tell you, it's different. Very different. But there is a similarity, and the similarity is that for both processes, it requires many, many, many leaps of faith over and over again. Another one and another one and another one until you get to the glorious end. And so we are all gathered here in having made those leaps of faith, and tomorrow we will release this to the rest of the world on the YouTube. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for saying yes to telling this story at this moment. And you know, this is what we all in this room have made. So with that, this is Kinsley Versus.
We just pressed publish on all 7 episodes of Kinsley Versus, and it's up on YouTube. I'm feeling really excited to share this with people, and nervous, and also kind of like a little bit like, what do I do now? But I also want to let the work speak to me a little bit, and I want to just sit and listen a little bit and wait. And when the time is right, we'll go again.
Okay, Courtney, final questions. If we had to redo the process, what would you change?
I find this really difficult to answer in an honest way, because I don't want it to be a cop out of answering it like this, but I wouldn't change anything. I don't think that I mean, look, I've definitely made mistakes and I learned from those. I scheduled things wrong and I maybe took too long here or didn't account for something there, like small things, but also those small things added up to understanding my own process better and understanding other people's processes better. So, you know, I don't mean to be so optimistic about this, but I do think that failure and mistakes and things that didn't quite go the way that we wanted them are actually the things that make us better artists. And my plan isn't to be perfect every time, but my plan is to teach myself how to iterate consistently. And this imperfect process and imperfect product taught me that. So I guess I am kind of optimistic.
Not that you asked, but I think I would like, I know what I would change. I would have the producers meet more frequently to talk about all that's happening, because a lot was happening and it's worthy of discussing. And we have a lot, we had four thoughtful minds and could have engaged each other a little bit more. Last one. If we had to redo this process, Courtney Romano, writer and director of Kinsley Verses, what would you keep the same?
All the people. All the people.
All the people.
That's right. All the people. I just felt like it wouldn't, so many people brought so much to it that was above and beyond. And I think part of the fun of doing all of this is the people. Most of the fun is the people that you work with in pre-production, on set, in post-production, understanding people, like getting to know people's aesthetic and ethos and value system and what they believe in and what they don't believe in. It's just the people are the best. So I'd keep the people.
I want to thank Courtney Romano, our host of The Break Breakdown, and creator of The Break Breakdown, and director and writer of Kinsley Verses. It's also my pleasure to thank our audience for listening, watching, and supporting. Thanks for allowing us into your ears every so often. When you finish anything that's intended for an audience, handing the hat to the audience is like an appropriate final gesture. So here it is, audience, we tip our hat to you.
A tip of the hat. Thank you.
Before Courtney gives us our actual final intro, I want to thank all of the artists who recorded a final word segment for us. We appreciate you sharing a little bit of yourselves, and I would encourage our audience, go back and listen to those again. There's a lot of cool and thoughtful reflection contained.
And now, here is this season's final word.
My name is Kara Griffin Cushman, and I'm a commercial and digital producer. I love my work, but sometimes it feels like every project, campaign, or production needs to be wrestled. Because of that, the beginning is the part where I usually get stuck. One of my recent campaigns, I had to get started, time was ticking, and the shoot had gone from 1 to 2 days, and the additional day that was scheduled was when I was in my friend's wedding, aka not present. It was a nightmare. I saw the whole project laid out in front of me. I needed to get started, and I just couldn't because I was overwhelmed. I went to self-preservation mode and was like, if I don't get started, I can just stay in this cozy space of less work and more time and fewer problems, and that would be great. But I know when I'm stuck, I need momentum. And momentum is scary for someone who likes to control and needs to control, for a client's sake, the outcome of a project. But if I look at the bird's eye view in the beginning, when I'm in my stickiness, and see which element will give me the most momentum, then I start there.
Today's episode of The Break Breakdown was hosted by me, Courtney Romano. It was executive produced by Benjamin Shaw, with audio and music supervision from Match Zimmerman. It was produced by Sarah States and created by me, Courtney Romano. Season 3 of The Break Breakdown is made possible through the generous support of Eddie and Wendy Shaw, with special thanks to Craig and Elle Hansen. And don't forget, you can watch the full series of Kinsley Versus now on YouTube. Just go to the show notes for the link. The Break Breakdown is a project of Queensbird Films.